Speaking of Reliability, a podcast with good friends talking with you about reliability engineering topics. Let's discuss how to create and improve your reliability program and your career. All right, welcome to Speaking of Reliability. This is Fred Schenkelberg, and Carl Carlson's on the line. Hey, Carl.
Hey, Fred.
Hey, you know, we talk on a regular basis, and we've got a handful of projects we're working on, our Reliability Engineering Management book, the Speaking of Reliability podcast. I got you involved with the Dare to Know. We interviewed you for that. You've got a column on Ascendo Reliability called Inside FMEA. And I know you do consulting and been really busy with a number of clients. You have a home, you have grandkids. How many projects do you have going like today?
At this moment in time, active projects, about 15.
Okay. So you're not afraid to take on a project. Would that be fair to say?
That would be fair to say. I really thought about this, Fred, because, some people go towards retirement and they just want to work in their workshop down the basement, this type of thing. I tend to be a very active person, and so I'm very comfortable with multiple projects going as long as they're ones that I have interest in.
Mm-hmm. Well, you seem to have lots of interests. One of the topics, and this is sparked by two things that have happened recently. But before I get into the topic, I want to make a little space here for one of our advertisements. We're experimenting with running ads in our podcast, so let's make a little space for that.
Hi, it's Fred here. Are you looking for just the right book, conference, degree program, journal, or other reliability-related resource? There's a lot out there, and unless you know where to look, and you'll find a limited set of options. Ascendo Reliability has a top 10 resources listing for 10 different categories of professional development. Find out what is available today at ascendoreliability.com/go/resources.
So two things happened recently. One is on our Reliability Engineering Management book. We have the draft chapters up on Ascendo Reliability. And we encourage people to take a look at our chapters and comment and give us feedback and what's clear, not clear, what works, what's missing, all kinds of things. And we're getting great feedback. We really appreciate that. One that came in earlier this week was, it was complimentary. I just read chapter one. I really appreciate you guys doing this, making it available. I don't feel I'm able to comment, though, because I'm just a brand new reliability engineer. And okay, I didn't really understand the hesitancy there. I get it. I understand. I've been there. Didn't feel qualified to comment yet. There was a hesitancy there. And then I saw a blog post by Seth Godin, and he publishes every day, and they're usually very, very short and usually insightful. And one that he put out was on this notion that we often have lots of work that could be done and stuff that we know should be done. And we even know how to do it. We set out plans, we set out steps and activities and milestones, and we know what needs to be done. And this one particularly hit home for me because I've got a couple of big projects that are going to take some time, and I'm going to have to learn some new things. And I'm just, as soon as I sit down to work on it, I go find something else to do. You know, I'm just really hesitant to actually dive into it. So I'm sensing that same hesitation. Maybe it's not exactly the same as the person commenting on our chapter, yet there's a little bit of something going on there that's holding me back. And you've got tons of projects, Carl. Are there some that are not ones you dive right into that you push off?
Yeah, very definitely. I used to characterize it as peeling the onion, but as you branch out into different things, there's always the fear of the unknown, and I still get it. Mm-hmm. So I'll be wanting to move into a different type of project, or maybe explore a different task, and yes, there's the fear of the unknown, and I do hesitate, and I push often, not always, but often I try to push myself through it. I indulge or cultivate my curiosity. I mean, curiosity to me is one of my most favorite things. In other words, I'm not trying to say I'm really good at it or something like that, mm-hmm. but it's something I cherish. That maybe that's the right way to put it. I really cherish the subject of curiosity because when I follow the path of interest and curiosity, I find I'm more alive, I'm more animated, I'm more motivated, I have more energy. When I follow the path of the mundane, things that I've always done before, I'm not as interested and I don't have the same degree of energy. And so it's very utilitarian for me. It just provides me more zest for life to stay on that path of curiosity. And to quote someone that, I've used this quote at different times in my practice, fear is the enemy of curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a quote from a professor of psychology at one of the universities in New York, Joshua Aronson.
Yeah, it's, you know, and well, you use this love of curiosity, and I imagine it's the connections, the outcome. You describe the having more energy as a very tangible benefit to get past the learning curve on something, to move into something, to master something. In reliability work, we're faced with new materials, new teams, new markets, new use profiles. We keep inventing as engineering community, we keep inventing new things that have unique new failures. And so it keeps us in business. We're also facing constraints. And we mention this pretty regularly of shorter time to market, driving to less cost, all these forces that force us as reliability professionals to continue to learn and adapt and grow. Yet I go back to that comment on our draft chapter of, I don't feel I'm able to comment. And is that hesitancy, is that humility or a polite way of saying I don't have time, a genuine recognition that they don't understand what they're reading? And to that in itself would be great feedback, as it's part of the book is written for to be clear. The intent is to be clear who it's for and practical information to help new reliability engineers in particular.
I'm seeing a balance between or a contribution from humility as well as fear. There's a humility aspect, which is if you're new and you're talking with someone who's an expert in a field, there's a certain amount of humility there that you don't want to question what they're doing. The second part is fear, which is you don't want to speak up and reveal that you don't know, how much you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And because it takes a lot of humility to ask questions. And this is where I think it's a good thing. So I want to encourage people, if you're new, to ask questions and not be afraid of revealing that you don't know something, because I think that's the way you learn. When I teach a class, I tell them that you're not going to learn from me just telling you. You're going to learn by putting things in your own words, hearing it from different points of view, trying out by exercises, and asking questions. So I really encourage people to ask questions without the fear of looking silly or being judged by the people next to them. So I think there's a little bit of both.
I know I wasn't motivated by fear when I was this, my director of engineering walked in my office one day and I was working on different statistical things and in plant process control and things like that. And he came in and said, I want you to figure out, will this product last for 20 years? And he described it as going to be put into bridges in Italy to melt snow and keep the bridges from icing over and eliminate the icy bridge problem. And I thought, oh, and I asked him, does that mean I get to go live in Italy in the mountains for 20 years to see if it's really working or not? You know, and it was out of complete naivete of, I don't know how to answer this question. I don't know how to do an accelerated life test. I never even heard of that term before.
I thought you were being cute.
Well, I actually wanted to go to Italy for 20 years. That would have been a great assignment.
Right.
You know, go check on the product once a day and go skiing the rest of the day or mountain climbing or you know, whatever. But that didn't happen. And he said, no, you have 6 months. And we have lab facilities and here's some other stuff. And then he walked out of the room. I had no idea how to accomplish this. Right. And it was an assignment. It was a big part of my work that I was being assigned to do and went off and figured it out. And there I had the emphasis from my management team that here's the resources, go do it. And you're an engineer, go figure it out. And so I went to the library, I asked a bunch of questions and did all this stuff. I'm thinking more of the projects that, like our book project, I'm struggling with writing a chapter. And I know it's a big part of the project and it's going to take some work and research and details and stuff. Yet, and I know exactly what I need to do. It just... And it's related to when I first started writing blog posts, my wife would know I was struggling to write something that day because I'd take out the trash. I'd go comb the cat. I'd do anything except sit down and write.
Yeah.
And that's a fear, I think. I don't know where it comes from though.
Well, I think it's innate. I think it's inherent. The, I've had, very good fortune. I have a neighbor, that's, a professor of that relates to evolutionary biology. Mm-hmm. And in fact, he heads up a program at one of the large universities. And he has taught me, we've had great conversations because I'm learning from him about the subject of biology and what's inherent in people, what's in our DNA. And he's learning from me about failure analysis and engineering principles and how you can apply them to biology. So we've had some great conversations. And one of the things I learned there is that there are things that are in our DNA, part of our heritage, that are not necessarily beneficial to us. And so you just have to learn to overcome them. If you're going to go where you want to go, then you have to overcome them because there are fears that are built in that have a reason for being. You know, the saber-toothed tigers, they were real. And today, the saber-toothed tigers are not necessarily real. And so we have to overcome that natural yuckiness that comes about or bubbles up that says, don't go forward right now because you could be killed by a saber-toothed tiger and just walk the path anyway.
Well, this is I when you mentioned saber-toothed tigers, I'm thinking of a kitten that encounters something that completely foreign or unknown to them the first time. They jump up in the air and turn sideways and hiss and get all fluffed out, and then explore it and figure out what it is. But their first response is a fight kind of response. It's a response to something unknown or difficult or whatever. But I'm talking more about if you know that you've got a difficult task ahead of you, and you know that what to do, it's something you haven't seen before. It's not dangerous. I don't think writing a blog post is dangerous. And I hope maybe I do unconsciously. It could be, but it's the idea though is that there's a procrastination piece to it. And I agree with the idea, though, that you got to work through it. What's the first step? And there's whole realms of productivity tools and stuff like getting things done where it's, you know, break it down into manageable tasks and do one step at a time. That quote of a journey of 1,000 miles starts with one step kind of thing. And yet there's this in reliability engineering, whether we're talking about taking on leadership roles and influencing a program or building a new lab or changing the design or, you know, raising a concern about a particular failure mechanism, things that push us out of our comfort zone and doing something different in also into the realm of change management, we know that there's a lot of resistance and internally from ourselves to take on that task. It also, we're going to get resistance from other parts of the organization, especially if we're making a proposal for a change. Is that fear? Is that part of that biology?
Yeah, I think it is. It's in the not in the conscious portion of our brain. So it's an unconscious portion of the brain that tries to keep us in our comfort zone. Mm-hmm. I have a technique that I've learned for a lot people that are smarter than I am.
There's not many of those, Carl.
No, there are. I'm sorry. People like Stephen Covey, Lou Tice, even Dale Carnegie to some aspects. But what I was getting to here is creating the vision, the goal, where you want to go, thinking about it, seeing it, understanding it is a great motivator. Get that goal really crystal clear. It tends to pull you through the fear.
Yeah, that's a good analogy. I've seen that used before where it's, you know, spend the time to get a clear vision of the end state, you know, like our book, we actually see it on the shelf and people are buying it and it's making a difference. And then look back at what needs to be done. It's a planning tool to then say, well, how do I get there? Well, here's all the things that happen in order for that book to be on the shelf.
Right.
As opposed to sitting down and you and I get together and say, oh, hey, we need to write a book. In looking forward, and also you can see is a mountain of activities and tasks and deadlines and all kinds of work to get it done. You're right. Starting with the end in mind, I think that's a Covey.
That's a Covey
phrase,
quote. Yep.
it allows you to see there's a lot of work, yet there's a path to the end state, to where you want to be.
And what you said earlier, Fred, is not trivial. The breaking it down into small steps. It sounds like an obvious thing to do, but it really does work. Some things that I have not been able to confront, they just seem too humongous. Mm-hmm. If I just say, what's a small step that I could do today? And I start that small step, the next step becomes a little bit easier. Same thing with exercise. Mm-hmm. There'll be days where I go, I really don't feel like exercising. Well, maybe I should just exercise for a few minutes. Mm-hmm. And I'll go off and exercise for a few minutes, and sure enough, I keep going.
Right.
So there's a lot to that subject.
Well, I think there's a couple different sources of fears. And what Seth Godin's blog was talking about was that you know that you need to improve a skill. So it might be accelerated life testing, you know, just the statistics and mathematics involved with that. You need to go learn that and crack a couple of textbooks out. You know that it's going to be work. To get to up to speed on that. And then it's being able to know it well enough to be able to present it to other people. And maybe your presentation area is a area that you hesitate to do to start with, and you need practice and need to work on that. And that list gets long pretty quick with most any project we take on. And it's a mixture of, I think, the curiosity part and pulling yourself through it. It's the take on those difficult tasks and take the first step and start breaking them down and working through it and get better at it. And I think there's also a piece that you don't need to be perfect.
Oh, great. Great point. The perfection, what's that phrase? Perfect is the enemy of the good.
Right.
the quest for perfection, or only doing something if you can do it perfectly, is I really think a revelation of, or a revealing of a fear, mm-hmm. because you have to be willing for there to be consequences. You have to take risk. You have to be willing for there to be a failure. You have to be willing to fail, I guess, is a simple way to say it. And then you learn from the failure. If you're not willing to fail, or willing to have things go wrong, then you'll never take any action at all, because the safest thing to do is nothing.
That's right. One of my first commanders, well, my commander when I was first appointed as a battery commander, a commander in the Army, my commander, a battalion commander, called me in his office, and he had a little 3x5 card, and he gave it to me, and he says, basically, the only thing you can do wrong is to not make a decision. Is if you're faced with a situation and you need to go left or right, choose. And if you get it wrong, that's okay. That is okay. He said, you may make the right choice, and that's great, and you can celebrate that. You may make the wrong choice, and you can learn from it, and that's also great. If you don't make a decision, I'll fire you.
Very good.
So it's no pressure.
No pressure at all. Well, in life, to get the things you want in life is filled with a certain amount of anxiety and fear and things that are difficult. An article that I enjoyed, I remember reading it last year, and the title goes something like this: everything you've ever wanted is on the other side of fear. Mm-hmm. And I think about that, because if fear becomes the wall that you won't go past, then you're not going to get things that you want, because what you want are things you don't have. And to get things that you don't have takes facing things that are barriers and have risk and have the potential for failure. Mm-hmm. But the rewards are great, and it's worth it. And so if you can get of the right mindset that it's okay to fail, it's because we'll learn from it, just like your commander said, and it's okay to have fear and to walk through it in spite of it, then that's a very good thing in terms of accomplishing things you want to.
That's right. Yeah, and Seth Godin ended his article with, you need to work out how to dance with your fear. And it was a neat phrasing, I thought, because it's what holds us back from getting our work done. And for me, in getting this chapter written, for example, I'm currently working on, and the way you phrased it, Carl, it's not real. And if I can, do a quick step or do a waltz and understand what's holding it back and go, I can deal with this and make progress anyway. There's stuff I need to learn. There's stuff I need to research. There's stuff I don't understand. It's uncomfortable. And we phrased that in one of our previous podcasts, is that you need to get comfortable in being uncomfortable to some degree.
Yes, indeed. Just a reference for people. There's a great book called The Genius of Leonardo da Vinci. Walter Isaacson, who I love as an author, is a mm-hmm. terrific biographer. I've read a lot of his books. One of my favorites is on Albert Einstein. But Isaacson seems to get the essence of genius. And if you distill down what Isaacson writes about Leonardo da Vinci, it's curiosity. Mm-hmm. Da Vinci lived to be a fairly good age, and he was curious from the beginning to the end.
That's right.
And that's why I just love the idea of cultivating and curiosity and following that path. And that's a good lesson to learn.
It is. It very much so is. So let's leave it there. And, I didn't really have a solid outline for this podcast or what the takeaway is. Yet I think just acknowledging that there are these barriers to us taking the initiative and getting things done and making things happen, even when you know exactly what you need to do, there's still, we all feel it. It's there. It's real. And I think a mix of curiosity, understanding where you're going, creating a compelling dynamic that gets you through it, or just keep, try it. You know, the worst that can happen is it doesn't work out. You learn from it and you try it again. And there's so many stories of people trying multiple times before they break through and get successful.
Yeah.
Just try it. It's in the reliability world, we're going to face many, many, many challenges and many things that we just don't know. And combination of curiosity, of the willingness to learn, to explore, to experiment, and the ability to confront those obstacles and recognize that they're not really solid barriers. We can work through them. We can dance with that fear and move beyond it. So what's your take on it as a listener? Do you see this? And what are your techniques and strategies, or what gets you through the barriers that you know you need to knock down and make progress to get things done? We'd love to hear from you. And if there's other parts of this that we touched on, I know it's a big topic, you'd like us to explore some more, join the conversation. Leave us a comment or a question over at reliability.fm. You can find the Speaking of Reliability show along with four other podcasts, all of which are related to reliability engineering in some fashion. I know, speaking for all of the podcast hosts, is that we certainly enjoy hearing from you and getting your questions. And, you know, Carl, we're both going to be at RAMS 2018 in the last week in January. I'm drawing a complete blank on when the dates are. But, you know, let us know if you're going to be there. We'd love to meet you and hear your impressions of the show and what you like or don't like about it, and literally join the conversation. We'll sit down and talk some while we're there. So get in touch with us. You can find contacts, information for us, or leave us a comment at reliability.fm. We'd love to meet you. So thought I'd do a little plug there for RAM since we're both going to be there. I think most of the co-hosts are going to be there. All right. Well, thanks much, Carl. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks, Fred.
Thanks for listening to Speaking of Reliability. We invite you to join the conversation if you have a question or a topic that you think we should discuss in a future show. Please let us know. You can find a comment box below the episode show notes, or just leave a note as part of a review on iTunes.